Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia Territory of the Gidimdum Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We are on the air, and as I promised last week, we have Team Tom and Lorna Butts brought in from Watson's Landing, all that way out there. Welcome to the show, Tom and Lorna.
Thank you.
Thank you very
glad
much.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, what a pleasure.
We're looking to have a little bit of fun as we try to figure out why anybody would come to this place, the Bulkley Valley. And I would like to ask you guys, how did you find it? Like, this is like a, it's like a jewel. Like, and how did you turn up and actually find it?
Lorna, do you want me to start on this, or do you want to?
Go for it, Tom.
Okay, Lorna and I were high school sweethearts in Fredericton, New Brunswick.
You're kidding me, aren't you? Come on.
No. That was a long time ago.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then we were, I had a little Volkswagen. And we, and in those days, everyone used to hitchhike and travel all over the place hitchhiking. And we were talking and said, wouldn't it be interesting to go to Europe? And Eiger Sanction, which was a movie with Clint Eastwood, was on. And we loved mountains. We always had a passion for mountains.
So were you guys actually born in Fredericton?
I was actually born in Quebec, in Chicoutimi.
Chicoutimi, okay.
Yes, and Thomas was born in Bielefeld, Germany.
Oh, perfect,
yeah.
Perfect. And then somehow the families ended up in Fredericton.
Yes, my dad was actually in the Air Force and ended up retiring in Fredericton. And I moved there in 1970, and Thomas had lived there pretty much most of his life, and that's when we met, was
wow.
in 1970, 50 years ago.
Wow.
55.
Yeah, 55. Isn't that interesting? Well, at the same time, I was in Burnaby in 1969, and I just had my 55th school reunion.
Wow.
You know, which is pretty crazy stuff. Really.
Yeah.
We just went back to a couple of them.
Yeah. So you went out on a road trip. You decided you were going to go to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're in Europe,
well, we were there for a little while. We had a wonderful time, and again, we were passionate about the mountains. And then it was time to come back, and we flew back, and we landed in Montreal, and we were coming back to Fredericton. I was going to finish university and everything. And Lorna and I looked at each other and said,
"Let's keep hitchhiking."
Yeah. Spend some more time on the road.
Yeah, that's absolutely
our
it.
Our parents weren't real happy about it.
No.
We decided that we would just continue.
Right. Right. Well, that sounds completely awesome. And so then the road took you decided Western Canada.
Absolutely. Yeah. To the mountains and then a little bit farther to Haida Gwaii, the Queen Charlotte Islands.
Okay,
then.
I see now.
And so the ironic thing there was when the plane left Haida Gwaii to go back to Vancouver, it came to Smithers.
Right. Now,
and
isn't that
so,
interesting? Eh?
On a Halloween in 1975, the plane landed in Smithers, and we looked out the window and saw this fresh snow on the mountains and this beautiful valley, and we said to ourselves, we're coming back here.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah.
It was ironic because people, I worked at the airport for a while, you worked at the airport, and people always talked about Smithers, and they would say things like, the glacier comes right into town.
Yeah.
And the runway is so short you might not make it.
Yeah, exactly.
But when we landed there and looked out the window, that's our view.
That was it. Mm-hmm. So you are not part of the group that came over Hungry Hill. Like, there is a contingent of people
mm-hmm.
that
saw
the same
mm-hmm.
sort of thing mm-hmm. coming over the hill. Like, oh, my goodness. That looks like an amazing thing.
We looked out of that window from the plane. We looked at each other and said,
wow.
That's home.
That's awesome. So then once you made that decision, you had to go back and finish school, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And you were back in Fredericton. It's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken my trip across Canada.
Wonderful place.
And so you've got to say goodbye to your family, and you've got to
get married. We had to get married.
Oh, yeah, that helps too. Oh, yeah.
This is just a little bit of a.
That's it. So you had the wedding in Fredericton?
Yes, a small, little, intimate wedding, just with immediate family, pretty much. And then we took off to Old Quebec City for our honeymoon.
Beautiful.
To ski.
Beautiful place, yeah. I remember being there too with my mother. And there was a horse-drawn carriage that we were riding in Old Quebec there.
It's such a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Very romantic, yeah.
And then you kept on going. You're going to go across the prairies, and all the way along you're going to see other places. What the heck? This Medicine Hat looks beautiful. And Edmonton. And, well, I think we're going to stay in Jasper. But no, you guys are still determined to get to Smithers.
Well, that's it.
A crazy thing happened. We were in Vancouver, and we were painting houses and doing some work. And all of a sudden, this advertisement, we noticed this advertisement in the newspaper, and it was for a teaching position in Smithers.
No, no. And you were trained as a teacher, Tom.
I was trained as a teacher, but went into one of the buildings where this was going to occur, and the woman said to me, "You're from out of province, there's no hope." And Lauren, like, "Oh my God, well, we'll go anyway."
Yeah.
And it was interesting, too. That was the inaugural run of the sea bus that we took across.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
The speedboat, you're saying?
No, the
sea bus.
The sea bus.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right.
And I remember going in and the...
having the interview.
After the interview, he said, "Well, you know, you sort of left an impression on me." And I thought, well, is that good or did I make a fool of
you? Yeah, exactly.
And he said, "I will phone you if you get the job." And so Lauren and I went back to our apartment and there was no phone call.
Oh, right.
And then the next day, there was no phone call.
Right.
And the next day, and finally we got a phone call, and he said, "I was going to phone you right away, but I got appendicitis and I was in the hospital." You got the job in Smithers.
Oh, awesome.
And
awesome.
So, no money. Absolutely no money. No car.
No.
Only our thumbs.
Yeah.
And our backpacks. So we had been married, so we had these little rings on our fingers.
Yeah.
And we went into the bank, the Royal Bank in Vancouver, and said, told them he got a job, and we needed a car to get there.
Yeah.
And they gave us the loan.
No kidding.
And we've been awesome. In debt ever since.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And so then it's the drive north into this little town. You don't know a soul. And you're breaking in, really, through the school. Like, you're meeting these teachers. Like, that group of teachers at that particular chronological time are pretty amazing people.
Became our best friends.
Yeah.
It really was. There were 16 new teachers.
And
we really clicked and we connected. Mm-hmm. We had a wonderful, you know, it was the old days. You know, we really connected with everyone.
No, that's pretty cool. So then once we get sort of settled in, and what about you, Lorna? Where's your life going from there? You've got a husband. Uh-huh. You've got an apartment.
Right. Well, we lived actually in Owen's farm, the old Layton's farm out in Evelyn. And we rented that place for 3 years. But my first job was with the wonderful people of Super Value.
Right.
And that was in 1977. And Bertha Haynes and, of course, Mary and Slim Goodacre, they were Easterners. And as soon as they found out I was from New Brunswick, they said, come join the team.
Perfect. What a nice fit.
Yeah.
Because that was an amazing era.
Oh, was it ever.
That Super Value era.
It was a big family.
Yeah, very big family. And Slim, he had... I did a story on Slim one time. He has four adopted children.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, not just one adopted child.
They were great people.
Amazing people. Very amazing people. So that was how you got your start.
That's how I started.
You were a checkout girl.
Yes, cashier.
Wow.
Cashier. Wow, I was awesome. Good with money.
Joke. That's very, very helpful. Very helpful.
Yeah.
Well, listen, while we're kicking along, we talked about having a playlist that we kind of put together, and then we play a song and just kind of be part of our show.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have picked out a few songs, so I'd like to start out with this one we've got up top here, which is Valdi. Now, is there any, I always like to know if there's any connection to the song. Like, was this your wedding song?
Mm-hmm. No, this is not the wedding, but Valdi used to come to Fredericton and perform often.
And I love.
And during the 5 years that we actually both lived there,
right,
we went to numerous Valdi concerts.
Wow.
So
wow.
It really played into our little love story.
Who you guys are,
oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like Mark Perry. Like
yeah,
when you
absolutely.
Get here, you know, you get
ground.
Somebody is the driver of
just
keeping.
Just felt like family listening
yeah,
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, well, let's try this song, see how we're doing here. If we can get it to play.
Songs about freedom and joy. The hall had been rented and I was presented as a kind of a singer that all could enjoy. As I climbed up the stair to the stage that was there, it was obvious something was missing. I could tell by the vibes they wouldn't be bribed. They weren't in the to listen. They yelled out, play me a rock and roll song. Don't give me songs about freedom and joy. Play me a rock and roll song, but don't play me no song at all. I played them some songs about peace and contentment, things that I've come to believe in. When I was through to a chorus boo, some track star yelled, thank God he's leaving. Now someone play me a rock and roll song. I've had it to hear with your flowers. My head isn't there, so we'll leave you with your rock and roll songs. I'll make my way back to the country. Still, I have play me a rock and roll song. Don't give up the music that I don't want to hear. Play me a rock and roll song. I should have stayed at home with a big case of beer.
That's a pretty cool song.
It is.
And I'm not sure if you guys knew that Valdi was from Ottawa. Were you aware of that?
No.
And he
He's
is...
Vancouver Island now.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right. He's been there forever. But mm-hmm. He was... his parents are Danish.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a Dane.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, there's not that many Danes around in,
no, there are.
In Canada. So this era that you guys are in, it seemed like we were all... part of that era. It was kind of like a hippie era. We were kind of had the Volkswagen
peace,
van
love.
Yeah, all that stuff. And we were travelers, we were hitchhikers. I actually hitchhiked down to Panama City.
Wow.
And had to get all the way home with no money whatsoever.
Wow.
But it's just
amazing.
The timing
yeah.
of our world,
and
you know,
beautiful people that
yeah,
picked you up
yeah,
along the way
that helped me all the way, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a interesting time that we went through, and it's almost as if that period of time might be ending.
Mm-hmm.
The way that we're facing the political issues in the United States right now.
Story. story.
Yeah, it's a huge story, and the changes.
Bit of a sad story.
Yeah, that are coming about because we seem to have things, you know, we didn't realize how good we really had it, you know,
absolutely,
as we went along. So Slim's daughter, that she's married to the blues guitar player, and they live in Kelowna. And she was a checkout girl. Do you remember her, Lorna?
What was her name?
What the heck was her name now? I've forgotten, so we'll have to move that by.
Terry?
Pardon me?
Like a Goodacre, you mean?
Yeah, she was a Goodacre.
Oh, Terry. Terry Goodacre. Yeah, Terry and Betty.
Yeah, it wasn't Terry. It was Betty.
Betty.
Betty,
she
that's
lives in
the
Rupert.
One. Yeah, she lives down in Kelowna now.
She does, okay.
Yeah.
She was
and
in
Rupert. So I was kind of working with her, with Slim, when we were doing the story, and she's a wonderful girl, and she was a checkout girl.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it was at your time, Lorna, where the young guys in town, I remember very clearly, we would go to Super Value just to oogle at the checkout girls, you know. You know, if we weren't married, we were looking for a girlfriend, you know. And then, yeah. But
that's
anyways,
cool.
It was an interesting time.
Oh, totally.
So, Tom, as you're moving along now, what was your profession at school? Like, what were you? Were you a socials teacher or?
No, I taught everything, but I, you know, you're talking about the past.
Yeah.
The way, and remember the way we used to dress.
Yeah.
I remember a funny thing. Coming into the Chandler Park School the first day, and I had those high heels.
Right.
Do you remember those?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Cuban heels, they call them.
Down about here, and I don't know, Nehru jacket, who knows?
Yeah.
And when I went in, I thought there were three people standing there, the principal, the vice principal, and Doug Holmes, wonderful guy.
Right.
And I thought, okay, they're going to question my, you know, what
attire?
Training. No, what's your training?
Oh, this is the very first entrance.
First, yes.
You know, oh, my goodness.
And all three of them right away went, can you play soccer?
Yeah. So they knew what they were looking for.
Soccer was the big deal.
And note here, he couldn't.
Yeah.
I said I have played soccer.
Yeah, before, but I'm not really, wouldn't be a soccer player. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So at the time, like I remember my children went to Chandler Park, you know, and then now it's gone. You know, that moment of history. It's kind of like, I see so much of our history like the steamboat days on the river.
Oh.
It's a moment. It's a moment in time.
Chapter.
And then we've moved on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then it becomes the railway, and those guys are forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a memory for us because we lived it.
Absolutely.
Know? And living Chandler Park, all the different things that happened there, Tom, like there was a lot of strange affairs there.
It's really funny. The kids always used to say that, I always used to hear about them going underneath the stage into the basement, and I never really checked it out.
Right.
But the last day that we were moving all the things to the high school and we lived, I said, you guys, you got to show me.
Yeah.
And we went down. It was really, really cool. They had their signatures on the beams that rang. They used to escape underneath there.
Yeah, be a good place to hide out for sure.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty interesting. So, Lorna, now, your Super Value days, where did we go after that? Did that inspire you in the food business?
I was turned into a bit of a businesswoman, an entrepreneur. And from there, I did work a year, I believe, at Kelly's Stereo Mart.
Okay.
Which was really fun. It was a completely different area for me to get involved in.
Did you know Mary there? Mary and John?
Darlene and Paul Perry.
John Martinelli.
Yeah. And Mary.
Mary was there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good friends.
Right. Yeah.
John's passed away now. But so I did that. And then from there, I just really opened my entrepreneurial spirit and started different businesses myself. I had a tour company for a number of years.
Okay.
And called Cantrek Tours.
Right. Okay. Well, that was sort of an era. I do remember when Sonia Lester had Take a Hike Tour.
Yes.
And then she sold it to Tony.
Tony.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we decided that we wanted a tour company too.
Mm-hmm.
So we called it Get Lost Tours, because every time we went out, we didn't know where the heck we were, you know.
I like that.
And we only went out with our neighbor and ourselves, you know. It wasn't like we hired or got people to pay.
Yeah.
We just had fun. Like, there's so much to see in this country.
Yeah, absolutely.
You cannot see it all.
No.
So what did you do with your tour company? Was it hiking?
I was an inbound agency. No, and I just complimented the outfitters and the businesses that already existed in the valley.
I see.
And packaged their product with accommodation, recreation, and transportation.
Okay, so just a complete job.
Absolutely. Right. But the really neat part of Cantrac Tours was everything I sold, I did.
Yeah.
So I had a hands-on knowledge of everything that happened in the valley.
Right, right, which is
so
pretty cool.
So I got to do a lot of really wonderful things with all the adventure outdoor people.
Right.
And
really, transportation, you got to know how
I actually sold air.
Yeah.
Central Mountain Air gave me my wings.
Yep, and perfect.
And I added air to the package, but I also sold all the different types of adventures and accommodations as
right,
well, too.
Right. So you got to know a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Yeah, that's very, and it's a great way to get into the valley and
absolutely
find your way around. And you're going to, these people are going somewhere, and you want to know where they're going. I mean, this is how we get to see our country.
Yeah.
By getting out on some type of tour.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, that sounds great. So, Tom, from Chandler, you moved then down to the high school.
Yeah, I did. I was actually at Chandler for...
Oh, 30 years.
30 years.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't think it was going that long.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've been teaching for
55.
Years. I retired 13 years ago, and I've been teaching since.
Right. That's right. Yeah. That's yeah. right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, Chandler always had a lot of fond memories. It was there was always something going on at Chandler. It was a fun, wonderful people worked there.
Yeah, it was a great place to be.
And then I think you were only at the high school for a few years.
Yeah,
not very long
at
all.
That's right.
So then after the high school, was that when you started looking towards Whitsett for some work, Tom? Or was that later?
No, that was right after. And we were approached. There were a number of kids that just, you know, decided that they didn't want to go to school.
Yeah,
And so Lorna and I went and talked to them during the summer and said, hey, you know, would you be interested in coming in September and trying something
different?
Different.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how iCount started.
And wow. And it's, do you know it's still going, of course?
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so
it's
a
wonderful experience.
Yeah.
I really super enjoyed it.
And you've done so much for other people with that, Tom. You know
was,
what I mean?
It was fun.
Yeah. No, that's very interesting, very interesting. So, Lorna, along the way now, once you get yourself settled in, you've got to get yourself a piece of property. You have to have a house.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get out of the rental at Owen.
Right.
But you're still on that side of the valley. Like, there's sort of the Telqua side of the valley, and there's the Evelyn side of the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And something about that Evelyn kept you guys attracted.
Absolutely.
And it was
the closeness to the mountains.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so after living in Owen's farm in Evelyn, there were two little old ladies that owned three-quarter sections a little farther out towards Doughty. And they came up from Vancouver, and we walked the property with them. Had no money, but had loved the property.
Yeah.
And they actually gave us a year to come up with the money so that we could buy the property.
Wow.
Pretty cool ladies.
That was very cool.
So Thomas did a bit of logging. We had a little section of the quarter section on the other side of the highway at Trout Creek. And so he did a little bit of logging there to make enough money for the down payment.
No kidding.
Yes.
And that was scary.
Yeah.
I've never done it before.
Yeah, exactly.
Got the old Buckerman and Fowler's handbook.
Right. It's kind of like you'd never played soccer before.
Well, there are a lot of things
I but we got to learn. Everything has to be learned as long as we don't get hurt.
Yeah,
that's the main
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then this property came together, and then you've got to build a house.
Yeah, and John Mulder did that for us.
There you go. So you found somebody
a great
with skill.
Yeah, and he was amazing.
Yeah.
And the people in Evelyn, I have to go back a little bit. Like
Hopses and the Uteses.
Yeah.
The whole crew. They helped us out so much.
No.
They were like a second family.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. Totally awesome. Well, in my case, it was a similar situation, and I had met the Hidbers in Telqua.
Mm-hmm.
And the Louis Hidber was the guy on the road. There was a lot of Hidbers around, but he was on Hislop Road.
Mm-hmm.
And so he helped me. I stayed in his basement while I was building, and he did all the work with the cat. And, you know,
wow.
So it was there's a connection.
Such good.
With
such good
people. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. So it's pretty cool the way that goes mm-hmm. down, you know. All right. So we're trucking along now. Let's see if we can mix in another song.
Okay.
Okay. So you've got another song lined up here. I call it, of course, Song 2. And you've chosen this guy, Classical Gat, by a guy called Mason William. Mm-hmm. Now, do you know anything about that character?
You know, the only thing I know is it was 1968, I believe, was the first time I heard it, and it really had an impact on me. And when Lorna heard it, it's just such a beautiful instrumental.
It's a lovely mm-hmm. song.
Oh,
powerful.
Yeah. We still like really.
We still listen to it.
Yeah, often. Yeah, yeah. Well, let's play it, and then I can tell you just a little bit. Like Spotify gives you.
Oh, great.
A little bit of history. That is very smooth.
Isn't that beautiful?
Uh-huh. It's just mm-hmm. very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So this character, Mason Williams, had a huge musical career, mm-hmm. met a lot of people. He was actually teaming up with Page, one of the big rock singers from Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually he kind of went in a different direction
uh-huh.
and he became a scriptwriter. And his big job was with the Smothers Brothers. He was a comedian.
Wow.
Oh
yeah, and I didn't know where that.
No.
Yeah, exactly. And he actually worked for Glenn Campbell and Petula Clark when they had their shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he also wrote poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And
very very diverse,
talented guy, and he has a picture still in the New York, what do they call that, the Museum of Modern Art, of a Greyhound bus that he took with a camera and became quite a famous picture. So this guy's been around a little
bit.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, we always loved it.
Yeah.
Still love it.
Yeah, exactly. So John Mulder is a very talented man. We ran into him one time. We had built a barn, and my wife worked for All West Glass. And Dan is one of these guys, Dan Young, that he's a mover and a shaker type guy.
Yeah.
So he came out, he saw this barn, and he said, I got to have one. So he contacts John Mulder, and they build this beautiful barn without a nail in it.
Wow, cool.
Like
with all
like
pegs,
dowels.
You know what I mean? Just an amazing setup, you know?
So
this man's done a lot of talented work.
Well, John even put his dad's doors in our house.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you see his father's work, people know it right away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If there's a style.
Yeah.
And it was so
beautiful. So beautiful, yeah, that's good.
The house we built out in the acreage, yeah.
So that, and was that your only house, or have you had another house?
Yes, we lived in that house for 40 years.
No
we
kidding.
We lived on that property for 40 years.
Yeah. Wow,
yeah.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. That
beautiful,
is going to be
beautiful
incredible.
Place. And, beautiful place to raise children.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah. And so you had children. You had your children while you had the property.
Yes.
And they grew up there.
There.
As country kids. Like the difference between a city kid and a country kid.
Huge.
There was always something to do. They were always outside.
We always talk about the depression in the driveway.
Right.
And every season it had a different purpose.
Right, right.
It was either a mud pies or it was a skating rink or it was, you know, a bathtub, whatever.
Right, right, yeah.
But it had a purpose every season.
Right.
The two creeks, there was always jumping in the creeks.
Mm-hmm.
There always,
lots
you know.
Yeah.
There was always,
Did you have fish on those creeks?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
oh, yes.
Fish farm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we raised trout.
Trout, rainbow trout.
Oh, interesting.
Until the kids found out that
you're going to eat them.
People came and took them and they ate them.
Yeah, that's always the problem in the farming world.
That's another story.
Yeah.
We weren't popular.
Yeah, for that moment in time, that's for sure. So that, did you have other animals out there? Like, were you horse people at one time? Or?
No, Ed Johnson, used to
raise cattle
on our place. 60
Right,
which most of the time they were on the highway.
Right.
Or the train tracks.
Yeah.
But
there was a tremendous amount of wildlife, and we put a lot of trails in the place because we had Toboggan Creek and Trout Creek.
I see.
So there was a lot of wildlife. Mm-hmm. So really, it was skiing and
out the back door.
Yeah. How does it get any better?
Yeah.
It's just amazing, totally amazing. Yeah, well, we had a similar farm out in Telqua.
We were,
and I built all these trails, and, you know, I was, it was just amazing, really.
Absolutely beautiful.
How beautiful
just
it was.
Disappear.
Yeah.
Disappear on the trails.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, listen, we are reaching our midway point of the show, and this is the point where we try to do a station identification. So I'll just take a minute to run through that and let our listeners know that this is Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. And we are also very supportive of our sponsors. So we have people that are helping us. It's a completely volunteer-run organization. We try to get grants, and we also have various businesses that help us along the way. So I just want to have a shout out to Out of Hand. I've got Smithers Ranch House Tattoo, Classic Sanitary Supplies, Beebe's Farmer Market, and Bugwood Bean. And I just want to remind our listeners that I am your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and our guests tonight are Tom and Lorna Butts from Watson's Landing. So welcome back, to our show. I just wanted to spend a little bit of time on what we did in the valley. Like, as we're going along, most of our sort of volunteer time was sort of connected to our children. So if our kids were in volleyball, we were helping out in volleyball. I'm not saying me, I'm saying all of us. Uh-huh. Was that a similar situation?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you really, because you live so far out of town, when you went in, you sort of tried to coordinate. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah,
to coordinate everything because there was a big journey into town.
Right.
Grocery shopping, sports.
We had one vehicle.
Yeah.
The whole time we lived in the country.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's 22 kilometers outside of Smithers. So we really had to coordinate. And it was great because for about 10 years, I was an educational assistant at the high school.
Oh, well, that would help.
Which really worked out because we all had the same holidays.
Right.
Which
right.
was
yeah,
super
I can see
important.
That being beautiful.
But we'd drive in the morning, and we'd drop the kids off at Lake Catherine School, both the girls. Continue on. Thomas would drop me off at the high school.
Right.
And he would continue on to Chandler Park. And then we did it in the reversal.
Right, right.
Coming home.
And that worked really well.
Yeah, the kids were never on a school bus.
Right, right. Never. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is.
That is hard to believe.
Yeah.
And along, you would also coordinate some shopping.
Absolutely.
Whatever's got to be done.
Yeah.
Were you able to use the library, or was that something?
Oh, yeah, the library. We had our library cards.
And what about the pool? Was the pool?
The pool? No, we weren't too big on the pool. Not that we just weren't swimmers, were
yeah.
we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And we were hikers.
Right.
That's what we
that
did.
That was your.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Every weekend we spent either the time out in Kitsiukla or in Seton, Blunt area,
that
or
one.
Just hiking in the mountains
right.
every
right.
weekend.
Right. Beautiful. That sounds. Yeah. Sounds pretty special, actually.
Absolutely.
So you were cross-country skiers out on the property.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Loved it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we had direct access from there because we could go right up into the Kitsiukla Valley and up Evelyn and, yeah, Seton. That was sort of our playground.
Right, right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So when you're saying direct access to the valley, what was the lake up top there, Silvern Lakes?
Yes.
Could you get up in there?
Absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah. Totally.
Totally.
Because I remember the Hops had a trail up.
A cabin. And we spent a night.
Oh, okay, right.
I've always
with their horses.
Right.
With our girls. And
perfect. Yeah.
And for Lorna's birthday, we always used to go up there.
To Evelyn.
And spend a night or two.
In
right.
the mountains.
For her birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. a beautiful spot up
it
there.
It is.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Right. Well, I've got an old story there on the... Silvern Lakes. I went up there on my own with my horse
mm-hmm.
and stayed overnight. And then I was going out via Duthie Mine Trail.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And out of nowhere, there's a massive tree on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
So I got off and tried to train the horse. I said, we're going to go under that tree. And I tried to chop it. And I remember running into Tony Harrison, and he couldn't believe anybody would be trying to chop that tree.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah. So then I tried to get the horse to go under, and that wasn't possible. So we had to go off the bank, down the cliff, and then up the other side.
Wow.
It was pretty challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But
Lorna's comfortable on horses. I know when we went up with Hops, I was nervous.
Yeah.
I'm not a horseback rider.
Right. It does take practice.
Oh,
it
yeah.
really does.
There was
yeah.
one
yeah.
point we were following Ptarmigan Ridge, they called, and it was quite a trail. And I turned around, and Thomas was going away.
The horse was taking
yeah, you taking you on a different route. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That was interesting, too. That's the old Pass by Creek trail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was beautiful
mm-hmm.
going up.
On horseback, you could see stories in
oh,
the trees.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where yeah, people yeah. had carved.
Horse level.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you wouldn't see if you were hiking, but that's another story.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So the kids themselves, like they're growing up in the country, they must have had feelings of, man, when we get out of school, we're out of this place.
Hey, absolutely, and they were.
Yeah. yeah.
They, at 16 or 17 years old, they ended up pretty much moving to town, getting their
right.
first little apartment together. Ella took off and went to Australia with another friend for a year or so, and then worked up in Inuvik for a few years.
Right. So they got a little bit of experience.
Absolutely.
And see other places and compare. That's kind of what we are, is sort of comparing.
But, you know, Smithers...
There's something about Smithers, and I see that with so many students that I've taught in the past coming back. And you know what we alluded to earlier, it's a crazy world, and I think a lot of people feel, I feel safe here.
Yeah,
travel,
yeah,
I feel safe coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that sounds awesome. All right, so we are going to slide ourselves into our third song, song number 3. Did I write that down? I did. All right, and this is one of my favorite songs, another one. And my wife, she's part of the Northwest Animal Shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, this song would resonate with her because it's all cats and dogs.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And they run with about 25 cats all the time, and they're trying to adopt them out.
Such
whatever,
a great,
right? So it's kind
great.
Of
wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's give it a go, and then if there's, that's it right here, number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
the bus and the tourists are gone, and you've thrown away your choice and lost your ticket, so you have to stay on. But the drumbeat strains of the night remain, and the rhythm of the newborn day. You know, sometime you're bound to leave her, but for now you're gonna stay. In the year of the cat, year of the cat.
Okay, so that was The Year of the Cat by Al Stewart, mm-hmm. and it's just so smooth, it's just like butter. Mm-hmm. Now, this guy, Al, is actually a Scotchman, mm-hmm. and he was the guy that was playing music with Jimmy Page. Mm-hmm. I had that wrong with Mason, yeah. But he also, as he was growing up, his family, his father had passed away, and his mother moved to England. And when he got out of school, he was actually rooming with Paul Simon and Cat Stevens.
Wow.
So it's kind of
so
an influence
to
kind
mm-hmm.
smooth you out quite a bit, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of...
world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what is your connection to the song? Is it just a love?
Well, you know, when we were in the Charlottes in 1975, the little place that we rented had four albums. And that was one of them.
Okay,
so
right.
We never got sick of it.
No.
We never got sick of it.
Never. Yeah. Was Dog and Donut was the next song.
Yeah.
No, it was great. And our dog used to howl to it. Remember Skeena? I think everybody had a dog called Skeena.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it used to howl when mm-hmm. it heard Was mm-hmm. Dog and Donut.
No kidding, eh? Yeah, you like that one, right? Who let the dogs out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the experiences that you've had in your lives have really, you know, got you on this particular path mm-hmm. where we are now. Like there's something about what we enjoy here, and we can go off to wherever. We can go to Switzerland, and we can look at the mountains in Switzerland, and they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. But there's something that draws us back to this valley.
Mm-hmm.
Can you put it in words for me, Lorna?
Well, I sort of can, because I have always said that Smithers had the whole pie.
Right.
It didn't just have the beauty, it had the people, too. Mm-hmm. And it was it's just the eclectic group of Valley people that made you want to stay here.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, that's so true.
When we mm-hmm. had the Iron Horse Cafe, we had so much contact with...
with local
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
You know, it was absolutely, it's a fascinating valley. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's another place like it.
Well, I say that, but, you know, I talked to other people that were in various other places that mm-hmm. they settled in. Like, I just finished reading a book on Cassiar mm-hmm. and the people that were living in that small mining town, mm-hmm. northern town, and they were so... connected, you know, and they loved everything about it, and it was very scenic, mm-hmm. you know, and all those things. So there, it's not, I don't think we have the complete control of the best place on earth. Mm-hmm. I think that when people live somewhere, like living in Fredericton. Those mm-hmm. people are there because they like it. Mm-hmm. And it's their little world that mm-hmm. they see, you know. And we just happen to have found this little world that we've...
The gem.
It fits us. You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So going back to the Iron Horse Cafe, how did that... you know, you guys are always busy. Like, why would you take on more work?
Well, you know, because of the tour company, I did a lot of work with Via Rail.
Right, right.
And so one day we were down talking to the train people, and this old dilapidated building that wasn't really being used for anything was available. And we just thought, this would be a great place to have Cantrek tours.
Right.
You know? And then slowly we thought... the train needed a little bit of food.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we started doing the bowls of chili, and the local people started coming, and before we knew it,
we
had a big, huge restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We're so fortunate to have Andy George come by.
Andy George cooked for us.
Yeah.
Oh, we had wonderful chefs. Yeah. Mikey. We had, it was a family down there.
Yeah, it creates its own family.
Absolutely.
That's so cool. Well, oddly enough, you know, we're so interconnected, but we did the same thing. We decided we would buy the Peak Billiards and Espresso.
Such a great idea.
I'm like, why would we do that? We were busy, and we had jobs, and we had too much going on, but we thought we wanted to try it, you know? So that was a kind of a one-year affair before we had to move out and whatever, but it was just something you have to want to do.
We always say everyone should own a restaurant.
Yeah.
To appreciate life.
Yeah, and then when you go into a restaurant, instead of being sort of angry at what's going on,
you
can understand. Yeah, and you might want to get up and help versus
Absolutely.
Being that 100%. Way. You know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. So Patience. what was your fare? Like, what was the Iron Horse trying to portray? Did you cook horse meat?
No.
Okay.
But we cooked everything else.
Right.
But it was a healthy.
Okay. All right. That was your direction. Was
Absolutely.
Sort of a
healthy
food.
Local foods as much as we could.
Yeah.
But definitely healthy, and then we got into Wet'suwet'en menu as well too.
Because of Andy George.
Okay. I see.
So
yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
being creative down there.
Yeah, and that has a lot to do with you guys as perpetuating the fun within your circle. You know, so it's pretty cool that I can come together. So, just a little bit more, Tom, on the eye count. Like, I'm sort of overwhelmed by the eye count in the sense that, where did you come up with the idea? How did you think that it would work, and you're working with difficult kids, it's hard to really think that you're going to be successful.
You know, we had a plan, and we were given the freedom to do what we thought would work. So it was risky, but, you know, we were given the freedom. Like the first couple of days, we didn't even start teaching. We said, you know, show us where you play.
Yeah.
You know, and ultimately, in time, we became a family.
Yeah.
And it was bigger than just the school. You know, we took care of one another, and we became very, very close. I think at the highest point we had 56 kids.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. And it was, and you know, and the people we were working with, Dale, was so amazing. And
it was a holistic approach, an approach I still feel strongly today.
Right.
That schools should follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because a person is a whole human being, and it needs to be nurtured
in various areas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we're still very close to all the kids.
It was
a family.
Yeah.
The family just keeps coming.
And where did they go, the kids, after? Did they, like, one thing that I don't know if I've told you guys about, and I may have, was this guy out in Kitwanga that's got this Tea Creek farm.
Yes. Oh, so fabulous.
And this guy is just fascinating.
Yeah.
And he's training. Like, this is part of
he's
the
doing
whole
so
thing
much.
Is we need to get a job. Whether we like it or not, we have to support ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we've got to have some way to
trade.
Get in that direction, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's got five trades going out there.
Yeah.
Which I think is just incredible.
So amazing.
And, you know, the education being real is, you know, and we did so many...
Real things.
That's what I see with you guys.
They mm-hmm. build a lot of things on the site, you know,
right.
And
we... Well, we did finances, you know, we did survival.
First aid,
we
Yeah.
Yeah, we did first aid. You know, we did things that you need to have. Life skills.
Yes, exactly. That's what it is, life skills. Mm-hmm. And that's something like when I was at the bank at the credit union, we were trying to promote financial literacy.
Oh, yeah.
Because people come out of school with no idea of how they're going to pay for that loan.
That's it.
Or whatever, you know. There has to be a plan.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And so I always felt that you guys... produce that, and I wanted to know if you had any, what is a success story? Like, is it somebody that can look after themselves? Mm-hmm. I would say it to me.
Yeah.
Were you able to find somebody that bought into your ideas, and now that person is able to get a job?
Yeah,
or,
mm-hmm. and many of our students
are
working.
Some sad stories too, but the vast majority. And, you know, the big thing was... developing the ability to support one another.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And that was
belonging.
Really belonging.
Yes.
And we had so many amazing experiences, like going down to Wee Day, and so many wonderful things that we experienced together.
Is that not the culture of an indigenous community? It's more of a, it's not communist, but it's more of a socialist situation.
Absolutely.
Where they look after each other a little bit more than the average person.
When they used to come in the morning, and I do this now in the school, and it was Lorna's idea. We have a huddle.
Yeah.
And you know, let's all talk. How do you feel out of 10? You know. And,
yeah.
And start the day sharing. Where are you today? How are things
Stories.
Going?
Stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so important in First Nations.
Yeah.
You know.
Storylines.
Yeah. Stories. Stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that sounds very cool that you guys were able to put that together. Mm-hmm. And how were you able to leave it?
Oh, it was really difficult to leave, but you know, you have to move on.
Yeah.
It got really, really big, and plus we're getting older.
And needed some new energy, some new blood.
Yeah.
And
we were there for 3 years.
Wow. 3.5 years.
3.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Incredible chapter in our lives.
Yeah.
Very thankful that we had the opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was facilitated through the Smithers Schooling Association, or?
No. It was through WITSET.
Their own program.
We were approached.
But it was the British Columbia Education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were just out of, you know, can you come out and see what can be done?
Yeah. Yeah,
let's get these kids back into school.
Yeah,
or get them learning.
They weren't going to school.
No, and that's
there were
30
of them that were home and not going to school.
Right. And that's not a good situation, even once you graduate.
But what was really fantastic was we had a number of students come from Smithers out to WITSET. So we had we bridged. It was all about bridging the gap between communities and getting kids together for all the right reasons.
So it sort of came even out of the community. It was bridging the gap.
Bridging the gap is the word, yeah. No, that sounds pretty fascinating. Pretty fascinating. And wonderful that it can be successful in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we are, I agree with you, Tom, we are getting older. Like, but I've kind of taken the stance that I don't want to retire.
Oh, no.
I want to retool is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing...
Stay engaged.
There's certain things that we can do as we age. You know, we might not be doing what we used to do, but our level changes, but we still need to be a part of...
Yeah.
A part of life.
Have a reason to get up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I say engage the age.
That's right.
Engage to...
Engage the age.
Yeah, engage the age. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, Laura. That sounds really great. Well, listen, we have taken a little bit extra time to chat, and it looks like we've lost our last song.
That's okay.
We had some beautiful music there,
mm-hmm.
and we have that sort of feeling that we've got from you guys is kind of a, oh man, I'm relaxed and it's feeling good.
it's wonderful to have the opportunity to sit here with you.
And this is a, yeah, just a really neat medium.
It is cool medium.
I think more people, yeah, should be listening to Kick.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
See, when I got started was I was at college in Langara College in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And of course, everybody's got a radio station, mm-hmm, and I wanted to be on there so bad,
wow,
but you're too busy. Mm-hmm. You got all these courses going on. You're doing this, and I was in student council, and I mm-hmm just couldn't do it. So then I thought, well, it was 50 years ago. I still want to do it, you know.
And here you are.
Yeah. We're putting it on, you know. So it's kind of fun. Kind
yeah
of fun. All right, so we'll close her down, and I really appreciate you guys coming.
Thanks,
out.
Tom.
It's thanks
been
for
wonderful
yeah
to have
was
our
fun
get together. You betcha. So what I've got is my little outro that I push in there, and then we're on our way. So we'll just hang on a sec. We'll see if that'll work.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side. You have been listening.